This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. How is everybody? RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream live. Since our show is our podcast and our podcast is our show, you can get our app, download it, and you can listen whenever you wish to. A couple of other stories out there. There it is from Politico, and again, a liberal publication, not conservative publication. Hunter Biden corruption scandal. Hiding the ball, Hunter Biden complicates White House's anti-corruption push. Complicates.
Really?
Another headline, Hunter Biden Hunter Biden corruption scandal, quote, is not going away, from Politico. Corporate-owned media this week can no longer ignore mounting evidence of Hunter Biden's ethics scandals. I'm taking this from Breitbart, with both Politico and Business Insider, both leaning to the left, doing articles. Business Insider's article declares in its headline, Hunter Biden isn't Trump, but what he's up to is bad and deserves your attention. Even if you hate Fox News. Above an illustration of President Joe Biden cradling his chin in his hand with Hunter Biden hiding behind a wall of money. And then there's it's a huge investigative piece. Questions about the first son could detract from the president's effort to position himself as a global good government crusader.
I'm sorry.
You know, they throw these images. The one thing about the liberal media, as they're covering the story and talking about this guy's a problem for the president. He's a real problem. This isn't going away. Because if you look at it, it stinks of corruption. And this is from a president, you know, trying to put out the image that he's crusading and has this anti-corruption. Stop trying to sell the American public on that. The American public already believes the polling has been done. Numerous polls.
Right.
That this president in his political career has benefited his family.
Yeah.
They already suspect it to begin with.
Yep. No, the judgment has already happened, and first of all, the FBI investigation, as far as we know, is still going on. No reason to believe it is not. And then beyond that, you know, you look at the approach here by liberal media, and it was easy to see that this was going to be a liability for Joe Biden, that Hunter Biden was a liability. Well, you add that on top of the fact that Joe Biden is a liability for Joe Biden. He's not capable of answering questions. He's combative. He's defiant and arrogant, and he lies. But a situation that involves an actual investigation into possible criminal activity, then that could be linked directly to Joe Biden. There's no way that's going to go away. That's not going to happen without the FBI coming up and saying, hey, we looked into it thoroughly and there's nothing here. Even then, I think people would suspect. I think people have already made the decision in their mind, their judgment's going to stay, that his family benefited financially from his public service.
The day before the Insider published Schwartz's story, Politico magazine published a piece from Ben Schreckinger, excuse me, adapted from his book on the same topic, Hiding the Ball, Hunter Biden Complicates White House Anti-Corruption Push. Hmm. After a mea culpa on why corporate-owned media have buried ethics concerns over Hunter's dealings until now, all while throwing plenty of blame towards Donald Trump and conservatives, Schreckinger admits, far from ethical concerns about Hunter Biden being debunked, the case for close scrutiny only grows stronger when viewed in the full context of the family story and in the light of events that have unfolded since Election Day. The reporter identifies multiple shady deals through the years where Hunter and other Biden family members' business interests happen to coincide with issues that Joe took an interest in as senator or vice president. That's why the whole thing of they're trying to portray it, though, still, you know, Business Insider, how they wrote their article, or even, you know, trying to be about the global good, the anti-corruption global leader. He's not. He never has been.
No.
And anybody who's paid attention knows that, but they still attempt to sugarcoat it in some way. It's strange why they do that and then go into some of the specifics here as they do. Schreckinger zeroes in on the current controversy at the White House. Hunter's foray into art, where his first show ended up selling 5 amateurish paintings for a total of $375,000. The venture into painting is not an isolated incident, he writes, but part of a larger pattern in which the finances of Hunter and other Biden relatives have raised ethics questions or overlapped with the president's political alliances and public duties. And again, that's only one of them, too. I mean, we can go back to Bobulinski. Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Right.
Yeah. Bobulinski.
Bobulinski.
Bobulinski, yeah. And everything there. And it will be interesting to see. But it's the media knows. The media knows. And remember, this is the same media that supported the complete blackout of any Hunter Biden story pre-election.
Well, if you were the New York Post putting the story on and they were shut down, remember.
Yep.
That's misinformation. So they shut down the social media account. You know, it's kind of like it's akin to the lab leak theory. Then all of a sudden, here we are again talking about Hunter Biden, and it includes the liberal media. Liberal media wasn't screaming for social media to reinstate the account of the New York Post. They should have been, by the way, because if they think that they won't be shut down in the future at some point for behaving the same way, they're wrong. But at the end of it, the American people, I think, have already branded the Bidens as a corrupt family, that this kind of corruption goes on, and that's just their game.
You say branded or branded?
Brandon.
Okay.
Let's go, Brandon.
Okay. Just
and I really think that decision has already been there made, and I don't, regardless of where any investigation on Hunter Biden goes, I think that's going to remain. That it at the very least crosses the ethical line, and so you don't win. So politically, you don't win that. Who knows what the FBI will find ultimately? But politically, it's already. I think the decision by the American people is already there, and that is, yeah, he's been using his public service as leverage for his family members to make money.
You know, you're just talking about, you know, the censoring and Twitter and all that. And then the Katie Couric story came out in her new memoir where mm-hmm. she admitted she edited comments from the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg
yeah.
in her 2016 interview with Yahoo News to protect her from severe public backlash.
Yeah.
What did she say that was so critical? She criticized those who kneel to the national anthem. Though the original interview quoted Ginsburg calling the anthem protest dumb and disrespectful, Couric omitted parts she deemed more problematic, such as when Ginsburg reportedly said the protesters were showing, quote, contempt for a government that has made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life. Ginsburg added, which they probably could not have lived in the places they came from. As they became older, they realized that this was youthful folly, and that's why education is important. So, again, she was blasting, you know, at that point, she was blasting Kaepernick.
Right.
So there was Ginsburg, and we had stated this before. People forget on the, you know, the whole thing of the using the pronouns and the liberal transgender activist movement in this country. Ginsburg was also against that. Because why? Ginsburg was a traditional feminist. And she understood, as we said years ago, that the liberal transgender activist movement will destroy the liberal feminist movement in this country, because if men can be women whenever they want to be, then there is no definition of a woman. And if there's no definition of a woman, there can't be any women's rights.
Well, again, protected classes go away. That's the whole idea, is that simply by stating you belong to a protected class, then that means that class is no longer protected.
Right. So, and as, and we've talked about, you know, the misogyny in it,
yeah,
that the
right.
Man decides when he is a man, and a man decides when he is a woman. And the woman must submit to the will and the opinion of the man, because the man
says so.
And that's where we are. And, of course, when that came out, there were just a couple of articles, and the media really ignored it. It's like, okay, we just can't really get into that at all. And we brought that up to you, and here it is here with, you know, we need to protect her from her own opinion.
Yes, I felt protected. Yeah. I felt protective of her. What are you talking about?
I'm calling her out on that. That's a lie.
That is a lie. She didn't want it known.
Yep.
That's how Ruth Bader Ginsburg felt. She didn't want that known.
That was the passion that she had.
Well, because the way the far left championed her, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, at that point, you couldn't undo that because it completely destroys your agenda if you let her issue that opinion.
Listen to this here. Couric said she lost a lot of sleep over this one. She still wonders whether she made the right decision, asserting she wanted to protect the justice over an issue that might have been a blind spot for her.
Uh-huh.
That Ginsburg had a blind spot here, and she was wrong,
right?
And so she wanted to protect the old woman from her blind opinions.
Yeah, she didn't know any better,
right? She didn't know any better. She was an idiot,
right?
Do you buy that?
No.
She knew that would be hugely influential and would be used by conservatives to say, see, even liberals know. And it would have gone after not only that, but they would have brought up what she thought about the liberal transgender activist movement, and the conservatives would be able to paint and show how traditional liberals have abandoned their own liberalism and, become extremely far left radicals,
right,
to where they are today, which is out and out right Marxist racists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't have that known. It does not work at all.
It doesn't work.
But this is it's a fairly extensive history of the media, the activist media, not the left media, the activist media, editing things to make them happen.
Yep.
Edit the quote from Charlottesville from by then President Trump. Remember, was it MSNBC and Rick Perry and the was it the Dark Cloud?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh,
All of these decisions are made by a number of people.
It was NBC, right?
Yeah. It was either NBC or MSNBC. It was one or both. But yeah, they have to do that in order to make things work, make it something that it's not. And of course, ABC, George Stephanopoulos and his sit down interview with Joe Biden. We're not going to release the whole interview because some of it may be unflattering. Yeah, if that was a Trump interview, you would. And so this is what they have to do. We need to be able to control the narrative. That's the role they are in, they believe.
Going back, because that goes back to 2011. That's 10 years ago.
Wow.
Because the late Ed Schultz had to explain that he took him out of context because he did the same thing.
Right. As they... Again,
he had to say we did not present the full context of those statements, and we should have.
Right,
Ed Schultz, the late Ed Schultz, said that. Yeah,
and that's exactly how it works. You know, when you're an activist in the media, you're going to make it work, and if you can't make it work, you take it to the editing room, and find a way.
Yeah.
And that's it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
As the seasons change, so does truck maintenance. Cold weather can affect batteries, air brake systems, tire inflation pressures, and even diesel fuel itself. Here's a maintenance tip to help make sure your rig is ready when winter comes knocking. When temperatures fall, the paraffin wax in diesel fuel can thicken so much it clogs fuel filters or solidifies to the point where it will no longer flow. Invest in a new fuel filter now and consider adding a winter fuel additive to your maintenance routine to help prevent fuel gelling. Stop into a TA truck service near you to shop a wide selection of winter fuel additives and fuel filters today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. You see Social Security is going to get an increase in January?
Yeah. For everybody on Social Security, you're about to be rich.
Well.
Now, don't spend that $12 all in one place. Oh, wait. Inflation already took it.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was reading, was it the Wall Street Journal? Somebody had it. How are they going to pay for it?
Right. And, well, no, that's, you know, this is, there's the insanity. At $3.5 trillion is zero. This $12 a month. Wow. Oh, my gosh. For all of these people on Social Security, it is... The inflation hit between, and this is what I'm wondering, between now and January, especially if you factor in also rising costs due to the supply chain issues.
5.9% increase. By the time they get it, it'll be a wash.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And cross your fingers, hope and pray that it doesn't get worse. That essentially your buying power is diminished by then, even with the bump each month. Yeah. Wow.
on the web at redeyeradioshow.com and on your radio nightly. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Just a couple of headlines that I saw here during the bottom of the hour, and I'm like, man. This first one, Democrats explained, mandators gonna mandate. Like, are we talking sexual preference? What are we talking here? Oh, mandators are gonna mandate. And goes through all the Democrats who are going, well, look, of course they're gonna do vaccine mandates and mask mandates. That's what they do. Everything's a mandate. Renewable energy mandate, electric vehicle mandate, healthcare mandate. That's what they do. They mandate.
It's kind of a mandate on mandates.
Yes. Limiting soft drink mandate. It's a pretty interesting article, though. I just burst out laughing because I had no idea what it meant. I'm like, what does this mean?
Well, it has been the MO by the left for a while. And remember when Barack Obama was in office, he said, look, I've come to realize I don't need Congress to get things done. I can do a lot of things on my own, of course, through executive orders, but also through the administration and rulemakings. You know, whether it's EPA or IRS, OSHA, they can use their administration again to hand down these mandates, and those rules go into effect. And at that point, until they're successfully challenged and done away with, then they, if they're not, if they remain in place, they are the law of the land. I mean, it regulates business, it regulates your life and mine, and it takes a great effort and a lot of time to reverse it when they do it administratively. A lot of the EPA stuff that the Obama administration put into effect is still there. And while Trump was able to reverse a number of things, it's a lot harder to reverse it because it takes more time to do it by comparison to an executive order. An executive order can be reversed with a pen.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that, you know, that bringing up the mindset of, look, this is all across the board. All Democrats do is mandate.
No, that's it.
We need to force people to do this. We need to, and they actually talk about this just in general life. We need to, I'll never forget, we're an old acquaintance of mine, younger gentleman, went to college,
mm-hmm.
and came back out and of college, and he took urban planning,
mm-hmm.
basically urban architecture planning. About how we should build our cities.
Yeah.
One of the last conversations I had with him in person was, get out of my car, you communist. I was dropping him off at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I said that to him. Get out of my car, you communist. No. People shouldn't own their own homes anymore. Nope, that's too much waste of materials. What we need to do is we need to force people basically into community apartments where they can sit there. And there's an advantage, too, to see what you understand is, you know, when you take these courses, you realize that people actually don't know what they want. See, they don't know what they want.
Yeah, right.
And
they're too stupid.
Exactly. And therefore, what you need to do is you need to force them into have a productive society and to be doing exactly what they wish to do in life. And so when the urban planning that we talk about would take people and put them into more, you know, community apartments with open areas where people could get together and people don't talk as much anymore. And so this is all good. And all the mandates are always promoted as good because then we can do this and we can do this. And this is where people really, but the thing that they leave out of it is, yeah, but you're forcing people to do it.
Right.
And when you're forcing people to do it, you're assuming that the force does not affect or enter their mind as to how they view about the entire process after the forcing them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is showing that you don't understand how man operates if you think that. So, and this goes back probably about 20 years ago when he said this to me. I don't know whether he still buys the philosophy anymore, but I always found that fascinating that I said, since when did you become brainwashed to sit there and believe that there should be central planners that knows what is best for people, and this is what you want? And when I first met you as a kid, you were a Pat Buchanan fan. I'm not kidding. When he was a teenager, he loved Pat Buchanan. I mean, you went, how did you go from Pat Buchanan to communist? I want to know that process of how you did. I don't know
how
we think today.
College.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
It's called universities and the indoctrination is at that point, it changes over to training the activists. That's really what it is, if you think about it. You take the indoctrinated children out of the public schools as they head into the universities, and then at that point, it's 4 years of activist training.
We've talked about, you know, that whether it was the liberal urban planning that my old acquaintance took in college, or critical race theory, or the liberal transgender activist movement, all are attempting to brainwash into delusional mindsets about what doesn't exist.
Right.
Critical race theory.
Right.
That is by the time it gets to the school, the, what do you want to call it? The arm of critical race theory, the tentacle of critical race theory that gets into our schools is, of course, about the fact that whites think one way, and it's ingrained into them. And because the systemic racism exists into white people, we have to change all of society all of society must recognize that and then change because of it.
Right.
And it's a load of, we know, manure, but that's what they're doing. And they're teaching racism, that different people, because of skin color, think the same way, that this group of people over here thinks this way, therefore you think this way. And if you get out of that box, that's when you're marginalized. That's when you're bullied. That's when you're harassed. That's when it all happens. And with the liberal transgender activist movement, that's just the big lie. Oh, gender is sex now, and sex is interchangeable. You could be whatever you wish to be.
Right.
Well, no, you can't. That's ridiculous. In critical race theory, as we all know, one of the defenses coming up, and we talked about this earlier, is the fact that, no, we're not teaching it. We're not teaching it. It doesn't exist in the schools. What are you talking about? It doesn't exist in the schools. Well, most college students say they've encountered critical race theory in the classroom. According to a survey, new poll, contrary to progressive claims that the radical racial ideology is not taught in schools, a national survey from Yale's William F. Buckley Jr. program found that 56% of undergraduates have learned critical race theory either in college or high school. The results shared with the Washington Free Beacon also showed that 59% of those surveyed support teaching students that America is founded on white supremacy and most laws and institutions in America today are inherently racist, end of quote.
Well, you know, and the conditioning has been there for a long, long time by the left calling everything bigoted and racist. You know, this is what they do. They look to change the definition of words. And so if you can label just about any type of behavior as racist or bigoted, then you set basically... You've set in place the foundation for critical race theory so that any student that says, well, wait a minute. Well, did you hear them say this? Or did they watch this movie? Do they watch this TV show? Well, my gosh, that's bigoted. That's racist. Do they support this candidate? Are they a fan of this person? Oh, my gosh, they must be a racist. See? And they believe they're proving it at every turn because they call everything racist.
Yep. There's only one correct way on this all, and it's the one correct way. And it's the way of Martin Luther King. You judge everybody as an individual by the content of their character, and because we do talk radio, by the substance of their argument. But the content of their character, which means that when you get into the arena of ideas, you tell the truth.
Well,
because that's part of the content of somebody's character, that and so you tell the truth. Critical race theory, lies. Liberal transgender activist movement, lies.
And, you know, how a person, and we've done this with any public servant, how they behave, the things they do. Whether it's the things they're doing as a part of their job or their role in government, or how they conduct themselves as a person. That's how you judge. Has nothing
yep.
at all to do with their ethnic background, the skin color,
nothing.
Or sexual preference, or anything else.
Have you noticed the number of identity politics public service announcements on a number of cable channels over the last couple of months?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Everything is based on identity.
Right.
Every month is a different month now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every month is separating people, but we're doing it as a good cause by separation.
Right.
It's a slow brainwashing. The Smithsonian Channel, which I used to watch all the time, I can't watch anymore.
Mm. Right.
Their focus on identity politics in their public service announcements is reprehensible.
Well, and it's, you know, the idea is to make you feel guilty. Oh, well, you didn't know it was this month, or yeah. you didn't, you're not part of this cause. See, that's the idea. Make people feel like, my gosh, if I didn't know that was going on, am I a bigot?
Always understand that, as we've stated before, because you and I, and this goes back a few years, where we said, wow, why is the first thing out of the left that they always claim that you're a racist? Why do they do that? I mean, because that's, we don't think that way. And one thing I found in life is we, and Eric, we agree on it, that we believe that most people think the same way that we do, and they don't. The reason that those people on the left that practice identity politics accuse conservatives of being racist is because that's how they think.
Right.
They're the ones that are practicing identity politics. They're the ones that judge people by groups. They're the ones that prejudge you before they know you based on physical characteristics. They're the bigots. They're the racist. So they assume you think that way.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't think that way, then clearly you're a racist.
If you don't think like a racist, then you're a racist.
Right. If you, because that's the entire play by them. Well, if you don't think like me, if you disagree with me, you're a bigot. You're a racist.
I've actually had the conversation. Well, how do you think? I said, well, I treat everybody as an individual. No, you don't. Well, yeah, actually, I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. Yeah, I do that. No, no human does that. Well, actually, I do it. You may not do that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have preconceived notions. Okay, if somebody's tall, maybe I think they could play basketball better than me. But I've met a lot of tall people that can't play basketball. So those thoughts may waver in my head a little bit. Hmm. Do I believe that anybody is genetically inferior to me because of their height or weight or gender or skin color? No.
It's, but it,
you may, them, I don't.
But for them, it must be the focus, and it's 100% of their life. Every single day, it's all based on that type of identity.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. So congrats to William Shatner for going up into space.
Yes. He boldly went where a number of people have been before.
Someone said not boldly. I saw somebody write not boldly. He oldly went when it's come before.
Yeah.
Was it Shapiro who did that?
I think it was Shapiro. Was it Ben Shapiro?
I'm not sure. Somebody did it yesterday. It was funny.
Yeah. At 90.
Wow.
Wasn't it George H.W. Bush that went and he parachuted out of an airplane
yes.
for his 90th birthday?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I would say this is right up there, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't his birthday, by the way, but at 90?
I'd go up in space before I'd parachute.
Yes, I would feel safer in space.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet Earth. We're Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Get our Red Eye Radio app, download it, and you can listen to us whenever you want. All right. Before I get to the inflation stories out there, I saw this headline. Mm-hmm. In fact, the headline, it's the first story, the first actually editorial op-ed piece. If you ever gone to realclearpolitics.com, they have a ton of different, you know, op-eds and editorials. And this one, ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Comes from The Guardian. We kayaked to Joe Manchin's yacht, and we do it again.
Okay.
Well, that's determination. You're willing to kayak.
Wow. You're a regular martyr.
Wow. Gee, what's next?
That incredible sacrifice. Don't make me get my kayak out again. I will do it.
You think you're getting away from me? No way. I'll jump in my kayak and I'll paddle to wherever you are.
I'll be there in a few hours, depending on the current and wind speed.
We do it again.
We do it again. You're darn right, mister. I used my kayak. I think we all know what that means.
What's next? We skateboarded a half a mile to find him.
Yes. I actually got on an electric scooter. I drove for dozens of feet to get all the way there, and I'll do it again.
We're all taking our e-bikes. And we're going to protest climate change.
I Ubered all the way there and all the way home. You see this? That's my app. I'll do it again. I'll do it again.
I'm sorry, but it seems, reading that headline, I mean, it just seems, you get the impression that the sense of sacrifice for an issue has... gone down a few feet.
Yeah. I got dressed and left the house today to protest Joe Manchin, and I will do it again a week from next Tuesday. Don't think I won't. I brushed my teeth before I left to go protest Joe Manchin. You think I'll be deterred? No.
All right, before we get to inflation, just others, I just saw this one. This is actually about 36 hours old. I don't know how I missed this story. It didn't seem to get wide publicity. Reuters had it. The U.S. and FDA staff say Moderna did not meet all criteria for COVID-19 boosters. Interesting reason, though. Mm. Scientists at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said on Tuesday that Moderna had not met all of the agency's criteria to support use of booster doses of its COVID-19 vaccine, possibly because the efficacy of the shot's first two doses has remained strong.
Yeah. In other words, yeah. No need.
There's no need for it. FDA staff said in documents that data for Moderna's vaccine show that the booster does increase protective antibodies, but the difference in antibody levels before and after the shot was not wide enough, particularly in those whose levels had remained high. The documents were released ahead of a meeting later this week of the FDA's outside expert advisors to discuss booster doses of the vaccine. The FDA typically follows advice of its experts, but is not bound to do so. A pair of advisors at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will meet next week to discuss specific recommendations on who can receive the boosters if the FDA authorizes them. So they still can.
Hmm.
But it's interesting that the scientist, if you're following the scientist, if you're following the science, if you're following the science, are you following the scientist who are saying it's not met the agency's criteria to support the use of the booster dose, possibly because the antibodies remain strong?
Yeah, that was one thing that we saw with the Pfizer. They said that the fall off was sooner. It was, and they were able to measure the fall off and the efficacy. And so, all right, if they haven't seen quite the fall off, then there would be no need at this point. It all makes sense.
The Reuters story didn't have all the information, though. There's a lot that they said was open. You know, because that's why they said possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. All right. How much is stuff going up?
A lot.
We know that the inflation report, the report on consumer prices came out.
Mm.
And you need to put everything into perspective here, I think.
Right.
The price level has increased 5.4%. Over the in the last 12 months, and 6.5% on an annual basis so far for 2021.
Hmm.
So it's as we know, since Biden's been president, boom.
Yeah.
It is the largest year-over-year increase since 2008. They talked about the fact that one of the things is used car prices fell a little bit, but they were still up 24.4% in the last 12 months. New vehicles rose 1.3% this month, up 8.7% for the year. Car rental, 43% up.
Hmm.
Food and energy prices. Food rose 0.9%. Wow, that's almost a 12% increase, you know.
Annually, if it's annualized.
Energy prices, 1.3%. Beef prices up 17.6% over the last 12 months. Fresh fish and seafood, 10.7% higher. Major appliances, 9.6% more expensive, while furniture and bedding rose 11.2%. The interesting thing is they count so many different things out there, but it's what, you know, what do people use the most? Food and energy.
Right. The immediate need. And it makes you wonder what will happen with durable goods for the rest of the fourth quarter in terms of demand. Because let's say, and you mentioned appliances, you're looking to, you know, buy some appliances. Are people going to wait it out? Do they believe that inflation is going to go away anytime soon? That it's only, as the Biden administration wants you to believe, it's only temporary. This thing will be over in a matter of a few months. I do wonder what the consumer believes. because that's pretty significant. Appliances, you know, if you're talking about that kind of increase, it depends again on the immediate need, but that's something that can wait, right? And will people curtail their spending? Look, they just don't have the same spending power. There's no doubt their dollar isn't going as far. But how much of that psychologically is also going to change their buying habits to begin with and change demand in the next couple of months?
Yeah, the figure we saw is that if you count, just inflation in general, which, again, you do have the ability to control the effect of inflation on you, because if you don't buy as much, it's not a – and if you don't buy those specific products that have – increase the most, inflation has less of an impact on you at this point in time. The thing is, though, it is noticeable, as we know, at two places, the gas station, and it's also noticed at, when you go to the grocery store. Now, there were a few posts I saw on social media yesterday pointing out, well, wait a minute, back 6 years ago, gasoline prices are where they are now, so inflation really hasn't hit gasoline prices. And to that argument, I say blah, 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 because what people remember is people remember over what they were paying for something a few months ago as to compare what they're paying for it right now, and that sticker shock when you go in. For example, whenever bacon skyrockets, remember there was a pork shortage and bacon went up?
Yeah. Right.
People notice, they go, what the heck's this? I mean, I love bacon, and look at that. And so there are just things that people recognize, and food is one of them.
Well,
And especially when you go in and you buy the same things, you go in with your, you got a family, you go in with the list is basically the same, and all of a sudden it's been one price, and all of a sudden you go, my God, what did I buy? I'm buying the same stuff I bought. That's something that people recognize, and of course the gas pump immediately, and the gas pump is, hey, what was it just a couple of months ago? And when it was down to, we're right at $3 right here, right around three, 310 to 290, something like that is where I've seen it. I saw 289 yesterday.
I paid 289 the other day. And so, the psychology behind it with the consumer is that, all right, just a few months ago, the prices were lower. What in the world is driving the increase in the price? In other words, with gasoline, it's often that there was a storm and the refineries were hit, or there's a geopolitical situation that's driving it. What is it that's driving it? And they don't see that. They don't see those big obvious signs of that. And the same thing in a grocery store, because it's as you mentioned, bacon. If it was just pork or something, a couple of different products that were skyrocketing, that would be one thing. Okay, is there a shortage here? Has something happened in that industry that's driving that increase in price? But when it's across the board, when it's on every aisle, then it starts to sink in that, wait a minute, there's something much larger effectively at work here. And that, especially when you're shopping, you're looking to feed your family, that gets into an instinctive level. Man, my dollar doesn't, we in the back of your mind, that fear that I won't be able to get everything, I won't be able to provide the way I need to because my dollar's not going as far. That has a real effect.
And I think it was closer to 3 months ago when we had seen the study that, and it surprised us a little bit. It might have been two, but I think it was probably three, where we saw that the public had connected the dots that the spending bill and the spending that we've done during COVID, they have figured out, is related to the inflation, and more spending will be related to more inflation. So they were concerned with inflation 3 months ago.
Right.
If they were 3 months ago, it's got to be the hottest thing on the burner right now.
I think that along with the supply chain issues, and there are, and that they kind of go hand in hand in many ways, but inflation is also driven by what the government is doing in other areas. The supply chain issue, the president trying to address it yesterday, thanks to essentially the private sector that has made commitments, and we talked about this on yesterday's show, on different companies that are UPS, FedEx, Walmart, that have made these commitments to ramp up their delivery supply chains in order to help alleviate some of the supply chain issues overall. But there are other items there that I think haven't been addressed. And I've gotten some feedback and something that you and I have been aware of for years as the California Air Resources Board, the state of California, going after the older fleet of port trucks. And so, you know, with the ban on older trucks at the ports, then you're limiting which operations can work there, can help alleviate, in this case, that backlog. But that's not going to change. CARB's not going to change, and the state of California is not going to reverse that. So, and there's not going to be an exemption, I don't believe, by Governor Newsom, because I just don't expect that to happen. So, overall, what can the Biden administration do? You know, the story that came out with, well, they're pleading with the oil companies to see if there's a solution to bringing prices down. Are you kidding me?
Well, with the supply chain, Biden also said yesterday, he said, if the private sector doesn't do something, we'll call them out. Well, that's so weak.
Yeah, but
what you're saying is,
you wag your finger?
If they don't take care of it, we're going to blame them.
Right.
A leader doesn't do that. A leader says we need to get together and figure out what we're going to do. But look, there's so many things that they can't do. You know, you just talked about it right now. At the ports, there are things they can do, but they won't do it.
Right.
Because it goes against the liberal mindset that they have.
Yep.
On raising, you know, the whole thing about, you just brought up about Biden going to the oil companies. In fact, we'll talk more about that coming up next, because we need to get in that little, a little bit of a detail, because it's just, you shake your head. I saw that in the pre-show meeting and I wanted to go home.
Yeah, right.
Because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that next. 866-90-RED-EYE.
The Northern Plains have seen its share of rain. Rain turned to snow and heavy winds in recent days. A short-term inconvenience in that
you do have to be concerned about transportation, about livestock health.
Yet USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says long-term impacts will be beneficial, especially concerning drought relief.
We're even seeing a touch of winter across the Great Plains. We're seeing quite a bit of snow, in fact, in the Black Hills of South Dakota and eastern Wyoming. And then even some blizzards and near-blizzard conditions across parts of eastern Wyoming and even far western Nebraska with this system as it begins to wind down and lift northward into Canada.
And while heavy precipitation is also recorded in the Great Basin, Intermountain West, and Rockies, the drought-plagued interior Pacific Northwest and California have not seen appreciable moisture. Although
there's still time, and it looks like a stormy pattern is going to continue starting next week again for the West.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We're just talking about, you know, on the ports, what is the administration going to do? And as I said yesterday, as Biden said, well, if they don't take care of it, excuse me, then we'll call them out.
Yeah.
That's your solution?
Yeah.
And again, then the White House yesterday, the story out that the White House talking to oil companies, saying, what can you do? And one of the problems is nobody in the White House knows anything about oil markets. All they know about is solar panels and windmills.
Right.
Now, I'm not making that up.
No.
It sounds like I'm making that up. Right. That's what the story says.
Right.
They don't know. Nobody knows anything about oil. You've got to be kidding me. The United States of America in the White House, and they can't find somebody to talk to the oil companies about what to do. Well, the reason is they don't want to do what needs to be done, because what the oil companies would want is the fact of, we'll get to that coming up far in the bottom of the hour.
Here's your forecast.
Heavy rain and the potential for considerable flash flooding is possible through tomorrow morning between south central Texas and southeast Oklahoma. The heavy rain threat can also extend into parts of western Arkansas and the middle Mississippi Valley tonight. Another 1 to 3 inches for the Dallas area is expected. The bulk of those showers will stay to the east of I-35 and to the west of I-55. If you're traveling I-44, you'll notice some rain from Oklahoma City into the state of Illinois as well, and generally cloudy conditions through the central part of the country. The eastern seaboard from New York City southward will be clear, as well as much of the deep south. Portions of the northern Rockies have seen as much as a foot of snow. Frost and freeze warnings have been issued across much of Nebraska, northeast Colorado, northwest Kansas, and parts of South Dakota. Highs today there will only be in the mid-40s. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Cyber Ninjas, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And here's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So, yeah, just talking about the whole supply chain and Biden coming out yesterday and talking about the fact that, well, if they don't do something about it, the private sector, then we'll call them out, which I just went, that was just so weak. In what, you're going to blame them? Call them out? Wag your finger for that? Sorry, but when then you heard that he met the White House is meeting with oil officials, and one of the problems is nobody in the White House understands the oil markets. That was actually written in Politico, I believe, had that, which is, it was either the Hill or Politico, which both are liberal magazines, which is like, what? Or liberal publication, should I say? It's like, what? And they're trying to figure out, how do you do it? How do you do it? How do you do it? And this is just what we have seen over the years. Obama did it, as we mentioned earlier. Obama sat there and did everything he possibly could from the federal level to kill the production of natural gas and oil in this country. And then after he was out of office and Trump was in office and production was going through the roof because of horizontal fracking, Obama came back and said, no, wait a minute. I'm the one that did that. Remember, he was at the event and got cheers.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wait a minute, you tried to kill it, and now you're happy that they got it. And the same thing here. You and I go back to the 2008 polling that was done where you had liberals, for the first time in a long time, said, oops, this is when gasoline prices were over $4 a gallon in the majority of the United States. And they said, no, sorry, but low gas prices are more important than saving the planet. And then you see it now in Biden. Biden, who's done everything that he possibly can to kill production of oil and natural gas in the future where he can control it on federal lands, is now going to the oil companies saying you need to lower the price of gasoline. Well, any idiot who understands supply and demand knows what the solution is, right?
Yep.
Only one solution.
Right. You're going
to have to reverse your policies.
Incentivize the oil companies to produce more. And in the article, it said the oil companies don't even want to deal with the Biden administration because it's like, excuse me, what do you want us to do? We know you're trying to kill us.
Right.
It's almost like in the state of Texas where when we had the great outage in February, and we looked at the big problem and said, well, the big problem is that you have the wind turbines and the solar panels. They get massive government assistance in order to produce these things. And so you have, venture capitalists say, let's get involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
We get free money. Oh, we're guaranteed a profit? There's no risk because of government subsidies? Well, let's go here. And then you've got the politicians screaming at the coal plants and the natural gas plants. How come you people weren't ready? You need to retrofit this. You need to do this. And they simply look back and go, excuse me,
The federal government is telling us that we're going to be out of business in the next couple of years. We're not going to do massive infrastructure improvements that we would pay off over a period of 30 years when you're attempting to kill us ASAP. We're not idiots.
Well, in that case, they would be investing in the infrastructure for ahead of the lack of demand. When you're expanding wealth, it is investing in an infrastructure ahead of demand.
And exactly. Right, exactly. So and when the government's telling you our goal is to kill you, could you please produce more now right now because we need you? What, are you out of your mind?
Well, more and more, the consumer of their product is being punished and their industry is being punished. Why in the world would they throw billions and billions of dollars into the wind, basically? And this is what you're seeing in the Biden administration, the scrambling, because it is a problem. They know it. Infrastructure is this whole idea that, well, we're going to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure and this is going to improve things. There are things with the flow of oil that this president has stepped in front of, leases that they have shut down, the Keystone XL pipeline. All these moves send one signal to the entire industry, and that is, we want you gone. We don't welcome you here. And then all of a sudden they're scrambling because prices are too high. Well, first of all, they recognize the problem. I don't know what the internals are showing the Biden White House right now, but it's not good. Oil prices going up. Clearly, people put that on him. Right now the backlog with the supply chain. He wouldn't have addressed that if he felt that weren't a crisis.
The entire goal with electric vehicles has always been from the left to skyrocket the cost of gasoline,
mm-hmm.
where it becomes so expensive where people will be driven to electric vehicles. Here's your opportunity. Why isn't the Democratic leadership coming out and disagreeing with the president and saying, no, gas prices aren't too high, they're too low.
Right.
The whole purpose, everyone knows this. Remember, Obama said it.
Under my plan of cap and trade, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket. Basically all the forms of all the traditional forms of energy. And forget about what I say, whether coal is good or bad. We will impose restrictions on them. They will have to retrofit their operations. That will cost them money, and they will pass that along to the consumer.
Man, you almost tell you that's like a quote.
It's almost verbatim.
That's a quote, which simply means we're going to raise the cost of traditional energy to make it so expensive, where then the products that we wish to sell you and what the government wishes to pick as the winners, then you'll be forced to buy because it will be cheaper in a market
mm-hmm.
that is artificially skyrocketed,
right.
to use the quote from the president.
Right.
That prices are skyrocketed, which forces you to buy, okay, it's cheaper for me here. It's still a huge burden, but it's cheaper for me to do this. That's their goal.
Right.
Well, then why aren't the Democrats right now disagreeing with the president and saying, what are you meaning with the oil companies for? We don't want gasoline prices lowered. Democrats should come out with an official position that the gas prices are too low. They should publicize it. They should run ads on TV. They should say, we need to have $6 a gallon gasoline in order to save the planet.
Well, remember when they were using the language, our oil addiction?
Yes.
Our addiction to oil. This is the liberal, or was back then. Did they forget it?
She did say something about Biden. Didn't Greta say something about Biden a couple of weeks ago? She needs to say, how dare he?
Yeah. All right. How dare he invite them? By the way, no, that's a great point, because remember the far left going after Manchin because he's working with big oil companies. He gets a lot of money from big oil companies.
Look at Biden work with big oil.
Biden is inviting him to the White House.
Right. He wants them to lower gasoline prices.
Right.
Where's the outrage?
Right.
The Democrats, if they actually believe what they peddled to you,
mm-hmm.
right now, today, should pass a bill. They can't do that with the, can they pass a, okay, maybe not pass a bill because they wouldn't have the votes to do it. Unless they can make it through. I bet you that the Democrats, if you're trying to try to pass the bill, the Republicans might give you a little leeway to pass a bill or at least to pass a statement that we need to have $7 gasoline so people are driven to electric cars because that's where we're heading.
A non-binding resolution in the House. They should make that happen.
And California should lead on it
mm-hmm.
because we're being told that we're going to be out of traditional vehicles in another 10 years.
Right.
So start the process now.
Right.
Let gasoline prices go up.
This is the opportunity we've been waiting
right.
for. That's what the left... I really wonder why they're not doing that already.
By the way, somebody's listening to us for the first time. Mm. Yeah, we're being sarcastic here.
Yes.
We don't want this to happen. What we're simply saying is if they... we have said all along that Democrats peddle you one thing but actually believe another,
mm-hmm.
whether it's COVID or whether it's this.
The whole climate change thing has been proven over and over again.
Yeah.
They don't believe the science.
They don't believe the science of climate change, that they're peddling you.
Right.
They don't believe it. Otherwise, Democrats right now would be insisting. They would be furious at Biden. They'd be putting out a joint statement with agreement from all, except for Manchin, the Democrats stating that gasoline prices need to go to $6, $7, $8 a gallon. And in fact, we'll put a tax on it, and that tax will provide all the money that we need for the $3.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And we can save the planet, force people into electric vehicles, and get the $3.5 trillion. Democrats, Red Eye Radio has come up with a solution for you. Go with it.
Right. Make it happen. Where did they forget this? You know, again, we go back and, you know, Obama said that, what, in 2007, right, to the Chronicle? When he did that interview?
Yeah, the skyrocket electricity prices.
So
yeah.
Where's the squad and Bernie on this?
Yeah. Where are they? Where are the environmentalists? Where the hell are you? I thought you cared about saving the planet.
You need to call Biden out.
I want to see. Now, I just came up with that plan here off the mm-hmm. top of my head. There
right.
may be some flaws in it, but I think it's a perfect plan for the greenies.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Let's go over it again.
Right.
You get everything that you want. You go after Biden. You come off as being a strong Democrat for going after Biden. Because why? Biden is weak and you're strong. And you're saying, no, gasoline should be... Want to make it an even figure of 10?
Yeah.
$10 a gallon for gasoline.
Double digits. Right.
We shouldn't be lowering it. We should be raising it. Federal tax.
That's
of,
right.
If it's average of $3, $7 a gallon... We mm-hmm. take that money, we pay for all the infrastructure, we pay for the heaping, steaming $3.5 trillion pile. Everybody gets everything. You're only taxing the people that are destroying the planet with that $7 a gallon.
Basic monthly income.
Basic
healthcare.
Monthly income. Health care.
Food.
Free season tickets to the Cowboys.
Netflix.
Netflix for all.
And not standard definition, high definition.
Super high.
The good Netflix.
Super high speed broadband everywhere. Medical care for everybody. You get the $3.5 trillion.
Yeah.
You get the electric vehicles on the road.
Right.
You get rid of all the gas guzzlers.
Mm-hmm.
You save the planet.
Right.
This is your opportunity. Where are you? Again, Red Eye Radio has given the left the solution to all of their problems.
Please, well, take it and run.
In the delusional world we have, not in the real world. But that's where they live. They live in the delusional.
I was going to say.
They live in the delusional world.
That's right. And right now, they're wondering why that unicorn is so expensive.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Freightliner Team Run Smart Pro Henry Albert has achieved some very impressive fuel mileage numbers. Henry shares the specs on his truck and his trailer, starting with what's under the hood.
I'm in a 2018 Cascadia Aero X. It's powered by the integrated drivetrain Detroit Series 60 DD15, 400 horsepower, 1,750 foot-pounds of torque at 975 RPM, and that's fed into the Detroit DT12 direct drive transmission with a final axle ratio of 2.16 with active lube management, riding on Michelin X1 tires, pulling a fully aerodynamic trailer. The trailer is equipped with a nose cone. It's also equipped with full-length skirts from Fleet Engineers to go completely over the landing gear, completely over the trailer tandem, all the way to the rear bumper. The rain gutter has been plated over, and it's running a Stemco trailer tail. My main run, which is from Charlotte to Laredo, and I'm usually 60 to 65,000 pounds, I was averaging over 10 miles of the gallon. It was up to 10.1.
To learn more about Henry's fuel mileage achievements, go to TeamRunSmart.com. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara.
Yeah.
I don't think they're probably going to follow our lead on this one, though, the Democrats.
I wish they would. But wait until we're back from vacation to start that.
to promise to raise gasoline prices to $10?
Yes.
To $10 a gallon?
Right.
Maybe they should, yeah.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.